The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello and welcome to the Arrowhead Pride podcast we call From the Podium, where you get to hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm the editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney. It's the Saturday edition of From the Podium as we head into the divisional round against the Cleveland Browns tomorrow at 2.05 p.m. On this podcast, you'll hear from the best of the rest. We'll start with Tyrann Mathieu from Thursday. We'll move on to Andy Reid from Friday and also Anthony Hitchens and Chris Jones from Friday. But let's start again with the Honey Badger. Here is safety Tyrann Mathieu.
Tyrann, as you face the Browns, you know, a lot of what they like to do is to run the play action and sort of make the runs look like the passes and vice versa. How important, when you're facing that, does communication between the multiple levels become for y'all?
Yeah, it's extremely important. I think, you know, any team you play, you know, in this league, it's extremely important to, you know, communicate before the snap and after the snap. I'll probably add one more thing. You know, I think it's going to come down to discipline as well. You know, they're going to do some of the same things, but they're going to do it different ways. You know, one may be a run, one may be a pass. So, but it's going to look the same, and we're going to have to be very, very disciplined, you know, in our assignments.
Let's go next to Sam Mellinger. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Tyrann. Brad, I'm going to have a real quick follow if I can. Tyrann, I'm curious from your point of view. You were a great player before you got here. I understand that, but it seems like your play has gone to a different level. Is there something, what is it about what you walked into? What is it about what's provided here that has maybe brought out, you know, even another level than what you had before?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got to really, you know, give my coaches a lot of credit. You know, I've had a lot of great coaches, you know, over my career, you know, even going back to high school. You know, I think sometimes, you know, guys can, you know, not coach people like me because they assume that I know it all and they assume that I'm always prepared. I think when I came here, just the instructions I've been given, you know, the teachers I have, you know, Spags, Coach Merritt, you know, I'm constantly, you know, being taught something new, you know, every day. So for me, you know, my passion for the game is like growing, you know, I love to be around my teammates. I love to be involved, you know, with the schemes and stuff. But I got to give a lot of that credit to my coaches, you know, for the way that they're teaching me, you know, going forward.
Okay. And then the other thing is kind of just in the opposite direction, right? Like, do you have a sense, I've heard this from people in the building. Do you have a sense that your specific strengths, what you do well, what you're valuable for is exactly what this team needed when you walked in the door, that they've sort of responded, you know, the same way and you've brought out their best?
Yeah. I mean, I like to look at it like that. You know, I think this team was already great, you know, before I got here. You know, they had a bunch of wins, a bunch of division titles. For me, what I try to come here and do is just, you know, work every day. You know, every practice means something to me. You know, every rep is like personal. You know, I'm trying to get better. I think that's really my intent. You know, it's to always get better.
Let's go next to Therese Paylor. Go ahead, Therese.
Hey, Tyrann, how you doing?
Hey, doing good.
Hey, man, quick question for you. And Brad, I got a quick follow-up to it. There's a lot going on in the world, and people are trying really hard to find common ground to accomplish big goals. And I think a great example of that's in the NFL and actually you guys, right? So my question for you is, how do you and the other captains maintain a healthy locker room amid trying times when, you know, like not everybody's going to agree politically on stuff happening? Like, what are some of the steps and things you guys do as captains to make sure you don't let the stuff going on in the world get in the way of your common goal, which is repeating
Yeah, I think, you know, I think a lot of guys, well, most of us in the locker room, we all appreciate each other. So, you know, approaching us or, you know, having hard conversations, you know, it's not really difficult for us. You know, I think we got a team that's really focused on football and focused on winning. You know, I feel like some of the other conversations we've had, you know, it's been fairly easy. You know, I think in our mind, you know, we understand, you know, who we are and what we represent. And it's all about us, you know, showing that bond, showing that commitment, you know, to one another. But it's an open floor. You know, all of us respect each other, appreciate each other. And I think, you know, I think that's the start. You know, that's how you continue to grow.
Gotcha. And Spag says you guys spend some time every day, kind of this summer, talking about social issues. You know, what were those discussions like for you? How long did they last? And like, lastly, like, how good was it to kind of get those feelings out? Like, is that a big part of this? Just getting out what you have to say, so it having that heard.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Spags did a great job. You know, I think for one, you know, all of us are men. You know, I think at the end of the day, we all want to be accepted. You know, we all want to be heard. And I think just having Spags, you know, open the floor, and you know, if you've been around Spags, like, he's all ball. You know, like, he's all about the next practice and the next rep. And so for him to kind of take time out of, you know, what he really want to do, which is teach, I think that says a lot about him, you know, a lot about our assistant coaches, you know, all those guys were involved in the conversations. And for us, you know, it made us feel so great, you know, to have that conversation, for our D coordinator to kind of open the floor. I truly believe we all felt like we were in the right place, you know, at the right time.
Let's go next to Harold Koontz. Go ahead, Harold.
Hey, Tyron. Hope you're doing well, man.
Hey,
two quick questions. First, when it comes on the field, you know, you guys had success with stopping Derrick Henry, holding him to 69, well below his average in the AFC Championship game. You seem to have this success when top running backs you guys face. What is it about you guys as a defense when you face top running backs and just that extra motivation, that extra gear that it gives you to go? And then I'll have the second question after.
Yeah, I think, you know, really it's just a commitment, you know, to each other. Obviously, you know, it's a big challenge, you know, and I think anytime, you know, really over the last couple of years, last 2 years, I think every time our defense has been challenged or had to step up to a challenge, I always feel like my guys, you know, are ready and prepared. You know, a lot of that has to do with the coaches, you know, a lot of that has to do with individuals, you know, taking it upon themselves to kind of stay committed and stay disciplined. But, you know, I like my guys, you know, we always rise, you know, to the challenge.
And then the other question, you tweeted about Eric Bieniemy and how you said he brings out the best in people and he even inspires you. Could you just elaborate into how, you know, a guy like him brings out the best in the players and inspires you individually?
Yeah, I think all great players, you know, all good players, they want to be coached. They want to be coached hard and they want to be coached the right way. And I think the last part of it, they want to be coached by somebody that they know, you know, will have their back. You know, and I think, you know, I think Coach Bieniemy really embodies that, you know, even as a defensive player, you know, to see him get on Tyreek and get on Kelsey and push those guys to the next level, even though those guys have reached, you know, great heights. I think that says a lot about him as a coach, as a motivator, you know, and like I said in my tweet, you know, I'm inspired by him. You know, me and him, you know, share some of the same background, you know, being from, you know, Louisiana, and, you know, we have some of the same, you know, friends in a sense. And so always want the best for him, but, you know, he's definitely one of those guys I feel like definitely deserving.
Got time for two more. We'll go Herbie and then Vahe. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Tyron. Just to follow up, a quick follow up to Pete Sweeney's earlier question, where you mentioned that defending against the Browns play action, but specific to their backfield with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, what is the unique challenge preparing to face these two running backs?
I mean, it's you know, it's like a double-headed monster. You know, when one checks out the game, another one comes in. Both of those guys are elite. I think in their own way. You know, obviously, you know, Kareem, you know, he can do a lot, you know, things out the backfield. You know, they motion him out a lot in empty sets, trying to find a matchup. And, you know, Nick Chubb, just, he reminds me of those old school runners. You know what I mean? You know, big, stocky, you know, low to the ground, tough to tackle. So, and then both of those guys are good in the pass game, and they use them in the same way. So it can kind of get tricky, you know, when you're watching film. But yeah, I mean, I'll describe him as a two-headed monster.
Let's go last to Vahe Gregorian. Good, Vahe.
Hey, Tyron. Obviously, it's a great challenge to try to repeat, and you dealt with that pretty well during the regular season, of course. But I wonder at this stage what the difference is between thinking you can do it and knowing you've done it, and how that might be part of your mojo right now.
Well, I think it's all the same, you know, especially for me. You know, it's all about the work you put in, you know, during the week. You know, it's all about how attentive you are in meetings. You know, are you listening to your coach when he's giving these little nuggets? And, you know, can you take all the information to the field? You know, and can you do it at a high level? You know, I think that's really what it's all about.
Tyron, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it.
You know, listen, we look forward to this challenge of playing the Browns. I mean, heck of a football team. You look at them offensively, and they're one of the top offenses in this league. You look at them defensively, they fly around and make plays, one of the top defenses, and they play hard, aggressive football with great schemes on both sides of the ball, and also special teams. So they've done a great job with personnel. They've done a great job of coaching in that short period of time that they were given with this crazy offseason and season, the way it's rolled. A tremendous job by Kevin and his crew. So, but again, we look forward to being at home here in front of our fans. And obviously we feel like we've got a great support group there and look forward to them rocking and rolling along with us. So anyways, with that, time's yours.
Well, first to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Andy. I know you guys are built to win in a variety of ways, but defensively, how much is your pass rush sort of the barometer for how things go for you defensively?
Well, listen, I mean, in this league, that's a pretty consistent factor. As well as teams throw the ball, and this group's no different. I mean, this group does a great job throwing the ball in and out of the pocket. And so, pass rush becomes important. And however it's generated from wherever. And at the same time, when you play a team like this, that transition between the play action, run fake, and or the run, and then getting yourself ready for the throw and to be able to transition from one to the other there quickly.
Go next to Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Coach, on a cold day like today, my car doesn't like to start up right away. I got to kind of jiggle the wheel a little bit to get it to start. Coming out of a bye week, is there kind of a trick to make sure you hit the ground running? And do you kind of jiggle the wheel a little bit or give a message to your guys?
that's a good analogy. Listen, I mean, the guys, they get fired up for all this. So, I mean, they've been flying around all the last couple of weeks in practice. We've tried to practice hard and aggressive and but at the same time, utilize the time that we have off the best way we know how to do it. So we'll just see. We'll see how it goes, as we enter this game here Sunday.
Let's go next to Therese Paler. Go ahead, Therese.
Hey, Coach. Hope all is well with you, man.
All right, T. Yeah, absolutely. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, likewise, man. Hey, I'm working on something, and I could really – use your help since you've got years of expertise, like leading a group of different men. Look, there's a lot going on in the world and people are trying hard to seek common ground to accomplish big goals. And like a great example of that is the football field, where you got 70 people on a team, coaches who have to work together toward a common goal, but they're all different. They have different beliefs, right? My question to you is this: as a head coach, what are some of the things that you've done that the organization has done to help maintain a healthy locker room given these trying times? And also, how important is it to create a safe space for players to share what they think is important, but also be willing to hear other stuff too?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're just really a microcosm is really what you're saying of the world and life and that. So we're all Americans. However, for the most part, we're living here and doing our thing. So as a head football coach, you try to unite, make sure people have an opportunity to express their beliefs and feelings like you would around a dinner table. And you and I are experts at that. And so but have an open forum and respect one another. And that's what team's all about. I mean, listen, we all come from different places and it doesn't matter religion or color or anything else. We're humans, and I think we have an opportunity to look at the best of each other. And like I've told you before, we all have strengths and weaknesses. Every human has that strength and weakness. And our objective as a football team T, your strength is going to cover up my weakness. My strength will cover up your weakness, and we go roll. And so that's kind of how we do it here. Yeah.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Andy, you and Therese, experts at the dinner table. I like it.
Yes.
I just was wondering, Edwards-Helaire, what do you need to see from him to allow him to play that you haven't seen so far?
Yeah, well, listen, a couple of days ago, he moved around real well. And then we've just kind of backed off him. He's still doing stuff, just not with the group. So, we'll just see how he does here and take it. We're literally taking it day by day. So we'll see how it rolls.
Got a couple more. We'll go Harold Kuntz and then Herbie. Go ahead, Harold.
Andy, with Sammy Watkins out, I know you've had some experience with that in the past, actually a couple years here now. What's the comfortability level now? And, you know, guys that need to step up that may not have been in that position going into such a crucial playoff game.
Yeah, listen, we all love Sammy. So he's done a heck of a job here. But like with any situation like this, we just next guy up and we go and I'm not sure anybody blinks on that. You just, you giddy up and go. And that's not because Sam's not a great player. That's not it. It's just one of those things, how this team's wired and we do the best we possibly can. And from a coaching standpoint on down with the players, just do the best you can. And here we go. So that's what we're doing.
Next to Herbie. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey coach. Good afternoon.
Hey Herbie.
You've had a couple of weeks now to take a look at Dorian O'Daniel. I know, how is he progressing in practice? Is he a candidate to call up or elevate from injured reserve for this weekend?
Yeah, there's a chance on that. Yes, absolutely. You know, real good special teams player. We'll just see how it goes. Brett kind of attends to all that, Herbie, so we'll just see how it all works out here. But he's been out there running around and doing a good job.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thank you. Yep.
You just heard from Andy Reid, and now we continue on with Anthony Hitchens.
On the other side, Denzel Ward had spoke to the media this week. He's also coming off the COVID list, and he said it's taken him a while to kind of get back to normal. I was just wondering, how close are you? How do you feel to where you were prior to going on the COVID list?
Yeah. I feel good, actually. I just, took that time off, and I just try to work on something, and I got my legs back, I reset it, and I just, every negative I get, I just try to flip it for a positive, and I'm rolling, and I feel good, and moving around, and I'm ready for Sunday.
Let's go next to Sarin Petro. Go ahead, Sarin.
Anthony, I'm curious, Kareem Hunt's a very physical runner. Eric Bieniemy, I think, called him violent, was how he put it. What you go about trying to stop a guy like that differently? Do you have to make sure that you don't overdo it, and get yourself out of position because he's got some shifty moves? Just what goes into preparing for his style?
Yeah, he's one of the better backs that we played in this lead, and not just him. They keep him fresh with rotating both of them, and really good backs and really good O-line. They did a good job putting that team together, and we're going to have our hands full like every week. I mean, there's great players all over this lead, and he's just a perfect example of one. But, yeah, he's a violent runner, and we got some violent defensive players as well. So should be a good task for us. We're not trying to overdo it. We've been here before. We played teams like this before. So we'll be ready and, just let the best team win.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Anthony. Welcome back, by the way. I imagine that red zone defense is a point of emphasis this week and every week. What do you guys have to do to improve down there? Are the things you can point to and say, here's where we're not living up to it in the red zone this year?
Yeah, I think it's just getting on a situation. When it's a 4-point play, when I say 4-point play, that means it's third down. You stop them, they kick a field goal versus a touchdown. So that's what separates good and average and bad defenses in the red zone. It's giving up touchdowns versus field goals. So yeah, we just got to just lock in on that third down, or even if it's second and don't make it third and short, and manageable. So for us, it's going to be like always, stopping the run first, making the team one-dimensional in a red zone, in the open field, coming out. If you make a team one-dimensional and with our pass rushers, we help ourselves, increase our percentage in the red zone.
Next to Sean Bennett. ahead, Sean.
Try one more time here, Sean. Should pop up and say, unmute yourself. Oh, there we go. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay. Hey, hey, Anthony. Being from Lorain, a suburb of Cleveland, want to know, were you a Browns fan growing up? And does that make this matchup a little more special, a little more personal for you coming up?
Yeah, definitely. I was a Browns fan growing up. Where I'm from, Lorain, is, you know, you really have no choice. It's bred in your family and in the community and things like that. But to be honest, you know, I haven't really been back in a while. I mean, I've been 4 years at Iowa, 4 years in Dallas. I'm in my third year here. So I haven't been home lately in a while. So this game is just like any other game for me. Good ball club. We're a good ball club. It's a playoff football. None of that home from there and all that stuff have nothing to do with it. It's not going to change the outcome of the game or, you know, the outcome of me preparing or getting ready for the game. So that's just – it just happened to be like that. We got a couple guys, you know, from that area as well. So, yeah, I just think it's another game. Prepare the same no matter who we're playing. And, you know, once we get between those lines, it doesn't really matter where you're from.
Let's go next to Rob DeFranco. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, Anthony. To play off what Sean just asked, how has your family reacted to this game? I'm sure they were big Browns fans as well. Have they been kind of talking to you about this game?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm very convinced about 50 or 60% are rooting for the Browns, but that's okay. They still love me, so that's all that matters right now. So yeah, and if my dad was still alive, I'm sure he was the same way. He's been a Browns fan all his life and grew up and rooted for them. And you know, it's good for them and good for their city. But I mean, they're in our way of our goal, so there's only one way to, you know, handle that, and that's to, by getting a win. So I really don't go into in depth because I'm from there and all that. I'm just preparing for it like it's a regular game.
We've got three hands up. We'll go right down the line, starting with Todd Lebo. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Anthony, I've just kind of got a big picture question about you guys are on the cusp of playing in a playoff game. You're just coming off the COVID list. What sort of accomplishment do you think it's been for your franchise and the league to navigate through this season and to continue on with football? And now you're right here getting ready to get in the postseason again.
Yeah, it just shows that it can work. I mean, of course, there's going to be bumps and bruises throughout the process. And some guys, unfortunately enough, get COVID and things like that. But when you have a lot of people putting their hands in and actually trying to make it work, it can work. And it just shows all the other professions, not even professions and other sports at high school and college level. I know the NFL probably got a little more fun, so it's a little bit easier, you know, for us to get tested daily. You know, things like that. But it shows if everybody literally try and buy in, we can make it work. And here at the Chiefs, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of doing that. So we just got to keep it going. Everybody wants to see the Super Bowl and play in the Super Bowl. So for us, it's just to really just hone in and continue to do, you know, what's right to keep us, you know, all healthy.
Let's go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Anthony, it is good to see you again. You know, you mentioned getting your legs back, and, you know, you're not alone there. Almost all the starters took off in week 17, and, of course, you've had the bye week. Is there anything that you saw this week that, you know, gave you signs that there was any rust, and what gives you comfort, and what do you see that tells you that you guys are going to be ready from the get-go on Sunday?
Yeah, all you got to do is just turn on the practice film, man. We're flying around. When we get a bye week, we're not just, you know, sitting down and not doing anything and things like that. We're all pros. Yeah. You can lose your wind and stuff like that in a week and your conditioning and your strength and things like that. And we all been there and accidentally are done that before and it hurt you. So we all learn from that. Our bye weeks are not really bye weeks. We still work. And it showed today and yesterday flying around and making plays, communication. We're crisp and, you know, we're ready to roll.
We'll go last to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Anthony, I know you're not going to, I'm not asking for any specifics, right? Any game plan things, but like they play action a lot, right? It starts with a good running game and then they play action off of it. Are there things in general that you can pick up or you've been able to in your career pick up that are tells as to whether or not, hey, I know I can avoid the run on this one because quarterback did this or away he drops back. Have you been able to figure out teams, or different little tells as to whether or not the play action's run or pass?
Yeah, most teams you can. Cleveland does a good job of marrying their stretch run with their boots and their play action, and they have the athletic linemen to do it. And it looks like run and then it's boot. So it's not really a tell. It's kind of the feel of the game, the situation, second and long versus, first and 10. So it's just all that stuff plays a role in how you play. You get the call, you see the down on distance, and then you see a formation and you go from there. So different parts of the game, they might trick you once or twice, but once you get the flow of the game and the situation, the down and distance and things like that, you're able to, be one up on the offense, So, I just think as the game goes on, we just catch the flow. But the main priority is stopping the run. So we can react to the boot. That's just off your ability and your reaction. We play the run and react to the boot. So that's our motto going in.
Hitch, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you guys having me.
You're a guy that really gets a lot of energy off the fan base, and that's especially in the playoffs, it seems. What has it been like this year with the limited number of fans, and how much of an advantage do you still get from there being, what is the 22% or whatever it is?
Hey, hell of a question, man. It's remarkable to be within a pandemic, and we're still fortunate enough to have fans. I mean, it's great. It's great for Kansas City. It's great for us. I'm actually a player that feed off the fans, and still to have that many fans there, I think it's 16 or 20,000 somewhere in that area. It's great. I feel like it still gives us an upside. And the stadium is still pretty loud. With that many fans, it's still pretty loud. So it's going to be rocking. It's going to be rocking Sunday.
Next to Steve Walls. Good, Steve.
Hey, Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Steve.
The Browns are coming in, taking an underdog, everyone against us type of role, saying that they felt disrespected all season. And I'm sure at some point in your career, you've been on a team where no one but the people in the locker room believe in what the team was trying to do. So, I mean, just how difficult is it to face a team, that's trying to do whatever they can to prove everyone wrong, also playing with house money, so to speak?
I think we're still in that position, man. I feel like we're always still disrespected, I hear everything, all the talk and all of that. So, we just try to keep our head down and work. I know Coach Reed won his respect. Pat won his respect. Travis won his respect. And we all want our respect. So it's evenly distributed on that level of competitiveness. So I think it's a lot of respect thing within the organizations.
Go next to Sam McDowell. Good, Sam.
Hey, Chris. What's up, man?
How you doing?
Good. We saw after that Falcons game that Patrick came to you and Frank, I think it was, and basically kind of thanked you guys up front for sort of helping win that game. I'm just wondering, do you feel that onus, that if the offense isn't having its best day, that it's up to the pass rush and the defensive line to sort of try and take over that game? And I guess the second part of that question is, because that was your last game on the field, do you feel like you guys are really getting something going here with the pass rush?
I think that's what a team is for. I mean, it'll be unfair to us as a team to ask Pat to throw for 5 touchdowns a game. Even though the expectations for Pat Mahomes is so high and he's set that bar for himself, but it's still unfair to him for us to expect that from him every game. And that's what they brought guys like Frank Clark and Tyrann for, to improve this defense. And times like that, the offense was slow rolling. We got to step it up and make sure that, the game doesn't get out of hand. But it's like that. That's what football is about. Some games you can throw for 5 touchdowns. Some games it's hard to get 3. But it's okay. That's what we're here for. That's why we're a team, where one's just lacking, we pick up. And the defense isn't perfect every game. So the offense go out there and score 30 points, lighten it up for us. So it's evenly matched.
Let's go next to Nick Jacobs. Go ahead, Nick.
Chris, for you, you have 7 deflections in the past 4 preseason games. For you, what's been the key of being able to disrupt those passing lines?
Well, a lot of the times, whether I'll be double team or not, I'm still trying to find ways to affect the quarterback. A lot of the times the center comes and help the guard. So for me, it's about finding different ways to affect the game. And by utilizing my hands and the long frame that I have, I can kind of affect the quarterback by getting my hands up and deflecting balls.
Got time for a couple more. We'll go Todd and then Seren. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Chris, hope you're doing well. What's this regular season been like, waiting to get to this? Not just through the pandemic and all that, but, all the fans expect you to go back to the Super Bowl and all that stuff. What's the waiting game been like to get to this point, to finally get to play a postseason game?
Todd, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Todd, I've been enjoying the process. It came a point in last year that we didn't know if we was going to be able to finish the season. And, the league was able to come up with some restrictions to limit this thing, and we was fortunate enough to finish the season and enjoy the process along the way. There's a lot of things go into even making a playoff, building a playoff team, and actually winning a bye. With the new CBA, you only get one team with a bye. And being able to establish ourselves within the playoff talk and winning enough games to secure the number one spot in the bye. And then you kind of transition your focus to the playoff and what team are you playing and prepare for that. But I've been enjoying the process. You got to enjoy the process in order to get to where you want to go. And for me, I've been focused on the process, focused on week in and week out and getting better and getting the people around me better, most importantly.
Well, last to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Chris, kind of a follow-up to what Todd said and a comment you made about disrespect. First of all, is there a point that maybe – board's not the right word, right? But, this team was going to be defined by what they do in the postseason. It really didn't matter the regular season when you are defending Super Bowl champs. So was there a time that maybe the regular season you became not disinterested, but it just became about, okay, we've done enough to get through this game and move on? Because – the disrespect thing, the only disrespect I've heard for you guys is people were kind of knocking you because you won 7, by the way, on the back end of a 10-game win streak, but 7 in a row by 6 points or less. Is that, kind of is the reason why you won those games? Because the focus is about these games now?
No. You can't worry about the games ahead or the games that's behind. You got to worry about the game in hand. And you can't get bored in this league, man. You get bored, that's how you get your ass kicked. No one is getting bored. We expect to get everyone's best, and that's just a part of the game. Everybody come to Kansas City to play their best because everybody want to defeat Kansas City. And it's just a part of the game. We're the reigning Super Bowl champions, and that's a part of it. But bored is an astronomical word to use, as in the level of focus our guys have. I think everyone is dialed in. Everyone take it a game at a time. You have to win these games in order to place yourself within the playoff. And most importantly, we want to finish the season on a strong note, put ourselves in a position to get a bye week, and, have home field advantage. That's the most important thing. Have home field advantage, get the bye week, and host the playoffs throughout. And we did that. Now our focus is on the Cleveland Browns, who have 2 outstanding running backs. I can sit here and go all day about how good their running backs are. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, they can go hand for hand. And they got a quarterback who is playing some of the best ball he's played his whole career. And the head coach, he's transcended that team right there to be a playoff team. And they're showing late in this year, it's built off of how good can you run the ball. You seen it with Tennessee last year, with Derrick Henry. And they got 2 guys who's to me a top 5 backs in the league, both of them. And you don't see that often. So they got a great team. We're going to try to prepare and stop those guys and see what Sunday brings.
Chris, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.